This morning we're going to look into the book of Joshua. I don't know about you, but I love Joshua. It's a great book. I think it's a challenge for us today on how to live our Christian life. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at that this morning. And what is a Christian life? I think there's a lot of misunderstanding today in our world about the life that God's called us to. Some have got the impression that you get saved, sit back, take it easy, and wait for God to take you home. No problem, you know. If you got enough faith, woo, just a piece of cake. Well, I find in the scripture it says that in this world you will have trials and tribulations, and to me that says you're going to have some rough times. I find that true in the scriptures, that God wants us to enjoy life, but in this world, we're going to have some difficult times. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I want to tell you what, in our own strength, we cannot live this Christian life. But I got news for you. The scripture also tells us that you dear children are from God, and I will overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The good news is that we don't have to live this life our own. Yes, there's going to be struggles. Yes, there's going to be difficult times. But God has called us to live a victorious life even in the midst of struggle. He's called us to live a life of peace and hope, even in the midst of trouble. This morning as we look at Joshua 1, here's what we're going to see. They're getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. Let me just share something about my understanding of Canaan. Some people, you know, have said that Canaan is heaven. I don't believe Canaan is really heaven. I believe Canaan is the land and the life that God wants us to live right now. Because when they went into the land of Canaan, guess what? They had to fight. They had to struggle. But the good news is, in that fight and in that struggle, God had already promised them the victory. He had already promised them that they would have victory. Matter of fact, you go in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared unto him. Back in Genesis, God had already told Abraham and his descendants, this land's yours. And when we get to Joshua 1 today, we're finding them ready to enter that land. Yes, they're going to have to fight and struggle. You read the book of Joshua, they had to go in there. But the good news is, even in the midst of struggle, guess what? The victory was theirs. The peace was theirs. The hope was theirs. All they had to do was to claim it, what God had already given them. It took the faith. And so I want to encourage us this morning. How can we live the victorious life even in the midst of struggle? Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And every one of us know that, man, we go through times of trials in our life. I've told people, I said, in the Christian life, we're either in the midst of a trial, or we've just come out of one, or we're fixing to go right back into one. At least that's been my Christian life. Y'all agree with that? Yeah. There is struggle, because we do fight against the power. Satan wants to be, to have it easy. He wants to fight against us. But the good news is, he can fight all he wants, but God's stronger than he is. And he's already given you the victory. So that's why I want to look at this picture that Joshua presents to us. Look there in verses 1 through 4, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your authority will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great rivers of Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. God is reminding Joshua something very important. He said, Joshua, I want you to know something. I want you to know something. Back in Genesis 12:7, I promised Abraham this land. And now the land is yours. It is there. I want you to accept it. I want you to take it. He said, yeah, there's going to be struggles. Yes, there's going to be some hard times. But he said, folks, the land's yours. God has given us that same promise in 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph process in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. God has given you and I the privilege and the ability to have the abundant life. Matter of fact, Jesus said, I leave and I'm going to give you an inheritance. And that inheritance is peace. A peace that passes all understanding. And yet I discovered today that there are many Christians who are not living with the fullness that God had given them. So many think that peace is out there in the future. If you'll read those scriptures back there where Jesus talks about the peace, He said, it's an inheritance that's yours right now. It's your peace. The world will understand it. They can't comprehend it. You'll be in the midst of struggle. You'll be in the midst of turmoil. But I will promise you a peace. Let me tell you, in the last 6 months, my wife and I have experienced that kind of peace in our life. Back in February, she retired. I'm going to make her go back to work, I think, and I'll tell you why in a minute. She retired. The next month, she retired on Friday. The next Monday, she couldn't get out of bed. Her back was gone. Within a couple of weeks, she had to have three places in her back fused. Man, I tell you, that's an extensive surgery, over 5 hours. Recovery on that was great. And it kept getting longer. We couldn't have, why in the world did she recover? Because the more they ran her through therapy, the more her hips hurt her. I mean, she's having pain and suffering and hurting, and all of a sudden they realize, well, now you got to have a hip replacement. Last Monday, they had a total hip replacement. But in all of that, for 6 months now, God has still given us the peace that He is in control. Folks, that's good news. Now, like a friend I was talking about last night, how in the world do people live in this world without the hope and the peace of Jesus Christ? Because when you look out there, and if you turn on your TV, and if you read the newspaper, but the good news is God says, in the midst of all this tribulation, in the midst of all this trial, I want you to know something. I've already claimed the victory for you. The peace is ours. In Jesus. And that was the same for the children of Israel. Canaan was there. It was theirs to claim. They didn't have to live in defeat and in the desert any longer. And folks, I want you to know, as a Christian, we don't have to live in defeat. We can live in the victory that's found in Christ Jesus. Also, he says in those scriptures there, no one, listen to this, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Did you notice the promises that God made Joshua and the people? He says, man, the victory over your enemies in verse 5, he says, it's yours. I want to tell you right now. They haven't crossed the river yet, but he says, I want to tell you, the victory is already yours. It's there, guaranteed. He goes on and he tells us there in verse 5 that his presence and his power would be with them. That they weren't going into the land of Canaan by themselves. He says, my presence and my power will be there. And that's what guaranteed them the victory. In verse 5, he tells them that the faithfulness of God. He says, man, I am faithful. I'll be faithful to you. He says, I made you a promise. And I want to tell you, when God makes you a promise, it's better than any promise you can get anywhere else. It's guaranteed in Christ Jesus. He tells them, verse 6, I give you absolute victory, not just partial victory. I give you absolute victory, all of it. Verse 6, that God will keep His promises that He made to Abraham so long ago. Now, I'll ask you something. What did Joshua do to make these things become a reality? Nothing. Only one thing that Joshua could do. Trust God. The only thing that Joshua could do to make those become a reality. Except God said it. You've seen the old thing that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's wrong. It don't make any difference whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. And that's the way it was. He said, I understand. God said it. He said it. And I got news for you. God has given us those same kind of promises. He still gives us the victory over our enemies. You go to 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 4 and 5, and we don't have time to go through them. If you'll read them, you'll find out that God has promised us victory in life. God has not saved us to leave us in despair. God has not saved us to leave us in defeat. God has saved us to give us, as He says, abundant life. That in this, that our Canaan is, that we can experience the fullness of God's life right here, right now, in the midst of struggles, and we can have victory over it. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. That I can be victorious in Christ Jesus no matter what happens. He promises His presence. And He promises His power. You find that in Hebrews 13:5. You find it in Matthew 28:18 through 19 and 20. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. God's presence and God's power are ours. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. You receive power. Dunamis is the Greek word. The very power of God. Folks, the victory is ours, not because of who we are, but because of who He is in Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:20 again tells us that He's faithful. He says, I'm with you how long? Always. Always. God is there. He still is faithful to His promises. And what do we have to possess this in our lives? Just faith. Trusting God at His word. Trusting that what God says He will do, He will do. See, Canaan, the children of Israel are experienced 40 years of not trusting God. They spent 40 years in the wilderness simply because they did not trust God at His word. And I think there are a lot of Christians today who are still living in the wilderness. They're not experiencing the fullness that God wants us to have. Because we're not trusting Him. We're not trusting Him with all that we are. On verses 7 and 8 He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law, my servants. Moses gave you, do not turn from the right or to the left. That you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do you notice what he says? He's telling Joshua, you need to have obedience to the word of God. As you enter into the land of Canaan and you possess that which I have promised you, it will take obedience to my word. Did you see what he says? He says, you will keep the law. That's what the law says to do. You will do it. You'll not turn from the right or the left. Folks, we're to keep the very word of God. It is our authority. It is our hope as we look at it and read this, it reveals the very nature of who God is and His salvation, we would be obedient to it, were to keep it. Not only that, he was to meditate upon it. Not only was he simply to read it. It says that, hey, I want you to spend some time thinking about it. How often do we really meditate upon the Word of God? I mean, stop and really think about what it says. Not simply, oh, I got to do my daily Bible reading today, and I'll... James says, read 1 through 10, okay. Read, oh, I read them, Lord. I can check that out on Sunday morning Sunday school paper here. I'm okay. But no, he calls us to do more than that. He calls us to meditate upon it. To study it. To let it speak to us. Because it is God's Word. And folks, I got news for you. It's a living Word that speaks. It's still relevant to us today. He says, man, when you do that, he says, when you honor the Word of God, you'll prosper. You'll live in the land of Canaan like I want to. God wants us to live in this life experiencing the fullness that He has to offer us. And notice once again, when I say experiencing the fullness that God offers us, that doesn't mean we'll not go through struggles. It doesn't mean we'll go through trials. But it means as we go through them, we'll come through them victorious with a hope and a peace that God is still in control. We're to center our lives on the very Word of God. The Scripture says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Are we really hiding God's Word in our heart? Is it really a part of our lives? Are we spending time looking at what God has to say to you and I? Just as He told Joshua and the people of Israel to honor His Word, He's telling you and I, we need to honor this most sacred Word that God's given us. And then there's a call to courage. In verses 6a, 7a, and 9a, it says over and over again, stand strong in the face of opposition. Stand strong in the face of opposition. Man, Joshua had a great task in front of him. He was fixing to lead the people of Israel finally into the land of promise. God says to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to have to stand firm. You're going to have to stand firm in me. And I got news for you. God has called you and I to be the same way. God has called us as Christians to be well planted, to stand firm. That means to know what you believe. Yeah, you know, I'm amazed that there are many Christians, especially many Baptists, who really don't have any idea what they believe. Yes, what they believe? Well, I believe what the church does. Well, what's that? You know, what they preach every Sunday. Well, what is that? They really have no idea. What is it I believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to be firm in our faith. You know, so many cults, they're made up of Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians. I've had a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses come to me and say, oh yeah, I was a Baptist, baptized 4 times in the Baptist church. Now that was good, but you weren't standing firm in Jesus. You didn't know who your Savior was. Folks, I want to encourage you, you need to stand firm in who Jesus is. You need to know who He is in your life. You need to know what you believe about Him. You want to have victorious victory in your life day in and day out? You've got to know, I believe this because this is what God's Word has said to me. This is what I've studied. This is how the Holy Spirit has spoken to my life. And I've taken that Word. And now I can stand firm. All the days. We need to do like the Apostle Paul says. Paul in his writings there in 1 Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Stand firm. Be well grounded. Folks, this building right here, I guarantee you, they poured some foundation work that you do not see underneath the ground. Matter of fact, when I was pastoring Spruce Creek and we built our new sanctuary, there's probably more concrete under the ground than there is above. I couldn't believe it. Somebody asked us, "Are we building a 2-story building?" I said, "No, just 1 story." He said, "Man, you got enough foundation." Well, because of that, that building's not going anywhere. Folks, we need to be well grounded in Jesus Christ. Well planted. The church needs to quit being a doormat and be the army of God. The church needs to quit withdrawing and realize God has called us to be on the offensive and not defense. For the church, as Christians, we've moved ourselves into a defensive state. And Jesus tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And the more I say that, I realize that, hey, folks, the church, according to Jesus' words, is not on the defense, but they're literally storming and knocking down the gates of hell. And I think the modern-day church and Christians, we have become so defensive that we're allowing the gates of hell to push us back. And through the power of God, we need to understand that we're to be out there standing firm in our faith, proclaiming Jesus, but doing it in a way in which we show our love that God has for them. Revealing that love to them day in and day out. Stand firm. Look at verses 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan, here to go in and take the possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own." Can you imagine the excitement that must take place? I mean, for 40 years, they had been wandering around in the desert. God gives them a command. Get ready. Get ready. Because in 3 days, you're going to move out. Let me tell you, you ever thought about that, what that getting ready was for? There were some things they had to do. There were some things they had to do. They had to get their supplies ready. And so part of the supplies was something deep, was it not? If they were going to move into the promised land, they were going to get something to eat. Because you know what was fixing to happen? Something that had been happening for 40 years. What happened every morning for 40 years? Manna from heaven. Let me tell you what, in 3 days, that's going to dry up. It's not going to be anymore. It's going to be cut off. See, manna was just desert food. God says, "I'm fixing to give you a land flowing with milk and honey." It's a whole lot better than the desert food that you've been eating. That was okay. But you need to get your supplies ready, because that's going to be shut off, and I got something far greater for you out here. Get ready. Get ready to begin to experience what I've been wanting you to experience all along in your walk with me. And that's exactly what God tells us. Folks, we need to be ready, getting ourselves ready day in and day out to experience all that God has in store for us right now. As I said, God says, "I come that you might have life." And what kind of life does He want to have? Is it simply sparingly or just enough to get by? No, He says it's abundant. It's abundant. That's what Jesus wants us to experience right now in our walk with Him, is an abundant life. And we've got too many Christians still wanting to live in the desert, simply on the manna. When God says, "I've got more for you than the manna. I've got all the riches that I want to lay upon you and bless you with day in and day out." Does that mean God's going to give us everything we want? No. Does that mean that we can have a prosperity gospel and say, "God, I want $1 million. And say, "Okay, you have no faith, I'll give it to you." No, it doesn't say that. But it says, "I shall supply your needs according to my riches in glory." I shall supply your needs according to my riches. That which we have need of, God will supply for us. He says we need to begin to experience the fullness of that life right now. See, Christians, we have the greatest life in all the world. And we need to be excited about it. Christians ought to be excited. I guarantee you, in the camp that day, there was a sense of excitement. I bet they were hooping and hollering and got excited. Kind of like when we go to a football game or watch a football game on TV. You sit there watching your football game on TV doing this, right? Yeah, they should have done this, or they should have done... Shoot, no, you don't. You get excited. You think you're in the game. You begin to holler and shout. You begin to talk to the coach. Am I right? Okay. You get it. He says, folks, that's the way the Christian life is. We need to be excited about it. We've got something to be excited about. A lot of people ain't got anything to be excited about. They think they do, but they don't. It shall end. But ours is going to get better and better and better. This life is great. And I love it. But what He has in store for me, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. What He has in store for those who love Him. Whew. I love this life with all that God has for me. I look forward to what I cannot even begin to comprehend that He still has in store for me. But while I'm here, I'm going to live in my Canaan. I want to live with the blessings of God upon my life right now. I don't want to live as a poverty-stricken Christian. I want to live as a Christian who is filled with God's Spirit, living in the richness of His glory and His grace, day in and day out. You go on and there's a call to enter into the land. Verses 12 through 15, he talks about the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half tribe of Manasseh, who had settled there on the side of the Jordan that they were at. He says, now it's time for you to get ready to move on in with the people. We're all going into the land. We're going into the land. It would have been so easy for that 2.5 tribes of Israel to say, well, we're already settled in. We're happy. We're making a living here. We've got our homes. Y'all just go ahead. But they had a responsibility to the rest of the tribes of Israel. But we have a responsibility. A responsibility to one another as Christians. And a responsibility to the lost world. If we're not careful, we can become complacent. We could become content. It would have been easy for the 2.5 tribes of Israel to become content where they were at and not go and help their brothers. And as Christians, it's very easy for us sometimes to become content, to get satisfied where we're at. To sit down and, especially as we get older, in our rocking chairs and have a rocking chair religion. God, I've done my part. I'm just going to sit back here now and take it easy. You get somebody else to do it now. No, God's never called us to a rocking chair. He's called us to a commitment. A commitment to serve Him in every area of our life. Commitment to give all that we have to go in and possess the land. He's called us to be committed to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. To give our life as service to one another and to minister and to care and to love and to lift up. And then also to give our lives in helping the world come to understand that they need Jesus. That they need Jesus. It was a call to surrender all they were. Joshua says, for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That was a call of a commitment of his. A commitment to say that, hey, we surrender. You remember the old song, I Surrender All? All to Him I freely give. That's exactly what God calls us to, folks. We cannot live the triumphant, victorious Christian life unless we have surrendered all that we are to Jesus. Someone once said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. And that really makes sense. If He's not really Lord of all my life, then He's really not my Lord. I've got to surrender it all to Him. Every aspect. So that I might live for Him. Folks, no matter what we're going through in life, the victory is assured us in Jesus Christ. Greater He is in us than He is in the world. Whatever trials, whatever testing, whatever sickness, whatever heartache, whatever heartbreak, God promises the victory in Christ Jesus. We need to live a victorious life in Christ. Let's stand as we pray. Precious Father, we just thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You that You have promised us life through Jesus Christ. A life that has hope and has victory and has assurance. And God, I pray today that we will trust You with all that we are. And God, that we will live the Christian life not simply for ourselves, but that we might bring honor and glory to You. That we might lift up the very name of Jesus. God, You know all of our hearts. And while we're fixing to sing, held that own way. And God, may that really be our prayer. Lord, in our lives today, You have Your way. Totally. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.